a couple different passages in Proverbs chapter 20, or in the book of Proverbs. We'll start in Proverbs chapter 20. And whenever you get to Proverbs 20, hold your finger there and just flip over maybe one or two pages to Proverbs chapter 23. So we'll start reading in Proverbs 23, and then we'll flip over to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs, the book of wisdom in the Word of God. The book of wisdom, if you want to be wise and if you want to have good success, read the book of Proverbs and do what the book of Proverbs says. This is the book of laws. These are God's laws. And even a lost man could read the book of Proverbs and obey the precepts and the principles in the book of Proverbs and have a degree of success in his life. Anyone could, because Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And has a lot to say about the topic we're going to be preaching this morning and what we're going to preach on. If you've seen online and seen some of the discussion things that's been going on, you know that this morning that we're going to be preaching on the topic of alcohol. And the sermon or the message that I'm preaching this morning, I've titled, What You Need to Know About Alcohol. And it's what you need to know, what I need to know. And in regard to the fact that we're having this vote coming up here in just a few weeks to make the city wet, it's also what our city, what our town, what Amory needs to know about alcohol. And so that's what we're preaching this morning, what you need to know about alcohol. And if you're taking notes, you might want to take notes and write down some of these references that I'm going to give. I'm going to try to give a lot of references in Scripture. A lot to be said and a lot that is said in the Bible about alcohol. And so I will not have time to give you every reference and turn there and look at it. I would encourage you to either write these down or get a copy of the message. Of course, it'll go online. Listen to it again and again. Look up the references and things of that nature and see what the Bible says about it, because there's so much said concerning alcohol in the Bible that there's no way I could ever do it in a message. This message will be long enough as it is, I'm sure. And so, but I didn't come to get out, I came to get in. And no matter how long it takes, we need to hear what the Bible says concerning alcohol, and you need to know, and your kids need to know what the Bible says about alcohol. And so I'll have not enough time. I'm going to quote several men, several of the preachers, and quote several scriptures, but just won't have time to reference it all. And so, again, get the tape or get the CD and write them down and go back and look later. So anyways, Proverbs chapter number 23, if you found your place, I'll ask you to stand. We'll read a few verses of Scripture, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 19. We'll begin in verse number 19. The Bible says, "Hear thou, my son, be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." Now skip down to verse number 29. He says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself all right. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I have felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Now turn back to Proverbs chapter 20 and look in verse 1. The book of wisdom tells us, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning, and I want to say I love you, and I thank you for your presence and your power, and I thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you for the message you've given us and the burden you've laid upon our heart. Father, I pray that you would help us to preach it in a way that would be pleasing unto you. And Lord, it might not please men, and it might not be popular, but Lord, we are not here to please and not here to entertain, but Lord, we are here to glorify God. And Lord, I pray that everything that I say and everything that I do, Lord, would bring you honor and glory. And Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to preach this morning with a burden on our heart and a tear in our eye. Lord, I have seen firsthand the dangers and, Lord, the dread and the drudgery of alcohol. And I pray, oh God, that not one person in this place this morning, Lord, would be deceived by the dangers of alcohol. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to receive instruction from your word and help us, Lord, to heed it. Help us, Lord, to honor you in all that we do. And I pray that you would meet with us this morning. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive spiritual things. We know the natural mind receiveth not these things. They are spiritually discerned. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to receive them, that you would quicken us, make our heart and our minds alive this morning to the spiritual things that you will give to us this morning. Bless us now. Have your perfect will and way in this service and in this message. And for all that you do, we'll praise and honor and glorify you, for it's in the lovely and precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. America consumes about 41.4 million gallons of alcohol every solitary day. Drunk driving in the United States cost us more than $199 billion every single year. Teen alcohol use kills 4,700 people each year, and that is more than all illegal drugs combined. Alcohol-impaired driving accounts for more than 30% of all driving fatalities every year. More than 88,000 people die from alcohol-related deaths every single year in the United States. Due to alcohol, more die every year in America than we lost in the American Revolutionary War, in the War of 1812, in the Mexican-American War, more than all combat deaths of World War I. More die every year due to alcohol. More than we lost in the Korean War. More than we lost in Vietnam. More die every year than all of these American wars. If you look at every war or conflict that has had U.S. involvement from 2001 to today combined, we have lost more every year from alcohol. In 1 year, alcohol takes the lives than every American conflict from 2001 to today combined. American wars and conflicts ranked in number by total number of U.S. military deaths, if you exclude the top three. The top three is the war between the states, World War II, and World War I. If you exclude those top three, alcohol kills more every year than every war or conflict America has ever been involved in. Alcohol plays a role in 55% of all domestic violence cases. Over half of every domestic violence case, alcohol is involved. I read one report on an article. I did not write this. I read this on a government website. It said, alcohol is truly the bottled killer. That's what it said, word for word. Alcohol is truly the bottled killer. The World Health Organization estimates that alcohol kills 3 million people throughout the world every year. In other words, alcohol is the cause of 5.3% of all human deaths annually. That's hard to imagine. About one in every 20 deaths worldwide is the result of an alcohol-related disease, injury, accident, murder, or suicide. The rate of alcohol-related death is greater than that of HIV, which causes less than 2% of deaths worldwide. It's also greater than all alcohol-related violence, which causes less than 1%. Every day in the United States, about 30 people lose their lives in a car accident involving alcohol, and about 6 people die from alcohol poisoning every day. Every single day in America. Moreover, the extreme consequences of alcohol abuse are not diminishing. Now, we're hearing less about it, but the abuse of it's not, we're not getting less of that. Said the extreme consequences of alcohol abuse are not diminishing. From 2007 to 2017, the number of alcohol-related deaths in the United States increased by 35%. 35%. There are over 7 billion people on earth. It's about 7.5 billion right now. And about 2.3 billion of them may be classified as alcohol consumers. These are not people that have tasted it. These are not people that have taken a drink of it once in their life. These are not people that have swallowed it once and never done it again. These are alcohol consumers. That's almost one-third of the population of the entire world are regular alcohol consumers, according to this report. On a worldwide scale, more people are drinking alcohol than ever before. Alcohol is a more pervasive and widely abused harmful substance than any illegal drug. End quote. That is straight from a government website. Admitting. Now, they don't know what they're saying. You got to read between the lines on this stuff. They don't realize what they're saying. The government makes such a big deal about drugs, and there's the war on drugs, and everything, you know, they're talking, talk to your kids about drugs, talk to your kids about smoking, all this stuff, but you never hear anything about alcohol. And straight from a government website, they said that it is a greater harm to our society and is a greater epidemic than all illegal drugs. And yet they're pushing it every day, pushing it every day. Alcohol is a factor in 70% of all murder in America. Alcohol is a factor in 41% of all assaults in America, in 50% of all rape in America, 60% of all sex crimes against children. Alcohol is involved one way or another. 50% of assaults in the home is related to alcohol. 73% of suicides in America, alcohol is a factor. 55%. Now that's over half. Okay? I want you to hear what I'm about to say. 55% of all arrests. Every single arrest that is made by a police officer in this country, over half of them, alcohol is a factor. Now, they are talking in our city, and they'll talk in society, they'll talk worldwide, nationwide, about all the revenue that it brings in. That's all I've heard. When anytime they talk about voting Amory wet, bringing in alcohol, doing it in the county or wherever, they always talk about the revenue that it's going to bring in. They always point to other cities, and they always point to other areas and other societies where they've got alcohol, and it seems like they're doing so much better than we are. And what they don't realize is the curse that it will bring in, and it will not be profitable, and it will not bring revenue, and it will not benefit our city or our town or your life or your family. Listen to me. Out of every dollar earned in revenue paid by earned by liquor and earned by alcohol, out of every dollar earned in revenue, taxpayers spend $11 to offset the cost of alcohol on average. You hear what I'm saying? Taxpayers spend $11 to offset each $1 paid in liquor revenue. That is hiring more police officers. That is welfare. That's the jail system. That's car accidents and all the things that you can, everything that's related and that goes into it, they estimate $11 we spend out of every dollar we earn. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about alcohol. a lot to say about alcohol. Matter of fact, the word wine is used over 230 times in your King James Bible. However, the Bible also has a lot to say about being sober. Being sober. And all the times we hear, I hear Baptist preachers saying it, I hear deacons talking about it, I hear church people and so-called Christians say these things. They say, well, how much can I drink and not be drunk? That's what they always say. Well, you know, Jesus drank wine, disciples drank wine, the early church drank wine, everybody drank wine. And so what the Bible's really talking about is you can drink, but just not be drunk. And so they ask the question, how much can I drink and not be drunk? But here's my question. If we're looking at the Bible and seeing all that the Bible says about being sober, He said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Being sober, and many, many times in the Bible, he deals with being sober. My question is not how much can I drink and not be drunk. The question is how much can you drink and not still be completely sober? Not still be completely sober. That should be the real question. I've got this. I'm going to set it up here and I'll use it in just a moment. Amen. Only two times in the Bible is alcohol referenced in a positive light. And I wouldn't even say in a positive light. I would just say not a negative light. Let's put it that way. Only two times. The first time is in 1 Timothy 5:23. Only mention of alcoholic beverages in the New Testament where it's not in a negative light is in 1 Timothy 5:23, where Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for your stomach steak. So that's for medicinal use only. Medicine. That's the only way. Not a beverage. Every drunk in the country knows 1 Timothy 5:23, and they say, well, the Bible said, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. He's talking about medicinal use only and not a beverage. That's things like NyQuil and things like that that have a little bit of alcohol in them. The other time is in Deuteronomy 14, verse 26, and it's a prophecy of the Jews going into the millennium. And the curse will be lifted and alcohol won't have the curse on it that it's got today. Those are the only two times in the Bible that it's not mentioned in a negative light. Talking about alcoholic wine. Now, every other mention in the Bible is very, very negative. It's mentioned in a very, very negative light. Now, what you've got to understand is that there's two kinds of wine in the Bible. The Bible uses the word wine. And there's two different kinds of wine in the Bible. And by the way, nowhere in this King James Bible does it say that Jesus drank wine. I'll give $1,000 to anybody in here that can show me a verse in the Bible that says Jesus drank wine. It's not in there. Nowhere does it say that Jesus ever drank wine. So I just thought I'd mention that for a minute. But old wine, there's two different kinds of wine. There's what we call old wine. And that is fermented wine, alcoholic wine. And then the Bible talks about new wine. And what new wine is simply grape juice. It's just grape juice. It's not fermented, no alcohol in it. It's just grape juice. And new wine, unfermented grape juice, was a delicacy in Bible days. People got to understand that. It was a very sought-after thing, and it was a thing that they drank on special occasions, and it was a delicacy. And people have got to understand that. I can give you two different areas, two different references, where each one is used, because the Bible doesn't say new wine and old wine every single time. It just uses the word wine. Matter of fact, the word juice is only used one time, and it's in the book of the Song of Solomon, and it's used in a verse where wine is used twice and juice is used once. So it seems like they use the word juice just so it wouldn't be repetitive. So it wouldn't be wine, wine, wine. It'd be wine, juice, wine. But you say what you want to. It's in the book of the Song of Solomon. You can go look at it. The only time juice is used, every other time it's wine. And it doesn't always say old wine and new wine. It just says wine. You say, Brother Jacob, how do I know the difference? You know the difference on the context and you know the difference on the light that it is casting on the beverage or casting on the product. If it's casting it in a negative light, You know that it's talking about fermented wine. Why? Because we let Scripture interpret Scripture. Ain't that right? So if it's casting a negative light, if it says it's going to make you say stupid things and make you stutter and stammer and stagger and make you behold strange women, if it says it's going to make you go down to poverty, if it says it's going to ruin your life, you know it's talking about old wine. Fermented wine. Ain't that right? People think Jesus went to the marriage of the Cana of Galilee and served Budweiser to a group of folks that are already well drunk. That's what the Bible says about him. When they had well drunk. And people think Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the holiest man that's ever walked the face of earth, rolled up in a place like that and gave them more wine when they were already well drunk and acting a fool. Might as well just go ahead and say amen. Amen. That's not the way it is. Anytime you see old wine, it casts a negative light, and that's how you know he's talking about old wine. We find old wine in Proverbs 23, where we just read it, where he said, don't even touch it. Don't even touch it. He said, it's worse than a double-headed copperhead snake. Stay as far away from it as you can. Folks will say, well, the Bible allows us to drink just in moderation. Well, would you keep snakes around your house in moderation? They say, well, just have moderation. The kids can drink just as long as they learn to do it in moderation. Would you keep a snake around if you had a snake in your house and just train your kids how to act around the snake? Or would you cut the head off the snake? Amen? The Bible says it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. That is, stay as far away from it as you possibly can. Amen? That's old wine. Fermented wine. New wine we find in Isaiah 65, verse number 8, where he says, new wine is found in the cluster. In the cluster. That's the cluster of the grape. That means inside that grape, there is new wine. Wine that hasn't been squeezed out yet, and once you squeeze it out, it becomes new wine. It's freshly squeezed grape juice is what he's talking about. It is found in the cluster. And so we've got old wine and new wine. By the way, even the old wine in the Bible, even the alcoholic wine in the Bible, did not have the potency that this stuff being sold in liquor stores and in Walmarts and gas stations all over America today. It did not have the potency and did not have the effect that what it has today. So even if folks were drinking it then, it did not have quite the effect as what this stuff we have today. The Bible damns alcohol and booze and all this stuff that folks are using as social drinking and go out and to get drunk. This stuff is designed to get you drunk. Amen. Might as well say amen. They say, well, we can drink as long as we get drunk. The alcohol today is designed to get you drunk. That's why it's got the potency in it that it's got. Wasn't nothing like the wine of the Bible anyways, but the Bible still preaches and teaches against it. Amen? So somebody that doesn't know that, doesn't even have enough Bible knowledge to even have an intellectual conversation about it, so I wouldn't even talk to them or listen to them. If they don't know these things, they don't have enough intelligence, and they have not studied enough to show themselves approved enough to even have an intellectual conversation about it, so don't even listen to them. A lot of preachers all over America and in this town this morning have had some idiot tell them Jesus drank wine, and so now they don't say anything about it from their pulpits anymore. I tell you what one of the biggest problems is that most of them have got folks in their church and even some of their deacons that like to keep a little wine in their cooler and keep a little beer in their fridge, and they know that, and they're scared to death that if they say anything about it, them folks might leave the church or quit giving. They're what we call hirelings. Amen. They've studied the Bible enough and they've read the Bible enough to know what the Bible says about it, but they won't say anything about it because they're scared to death that somebody might quit giving. Amen. But I want you to know this morning, I am not scared of anybody in here, and I'm not scared of anybody in this town, and I'm not scared of anybody in this country. I'm going to preach to you, thus saith the Lord, when I stand before God, my hands will be clean, and I'll say, Lord, I tried to tell them. Amen. I tried to tell them. You say, well, Bud Zager, I'm going to quit giving. I'm going to leave. Well, help yourself. Do whatever you think you need to do, but you are not going to change this King James Bible. Amen. May as well say amen, praise God. And so what we need to know about alcohol, what our town needs to know about alcohol, what you as an individual, what our families, what our children, and by the way, I want all the young ones, Kaylee and Kelby, especially, I want you to listen real good, because this outside of salvation might be the most important message you ever hear. A lot of folks that would never get hooked on drugs will go out and take a sip of alcohol, and it will wreck their life. And there's more pressure today from the outside public, from friends and even family, and even within the church, there's more pressure today to go out and have a drink and have a good time and just have a little taste and just have a little sip, and it's no big deal, and preachers don't even preach against it anymore. And I'm telling you, it's a serious thing, and you need to listen. We need to know about alcohol. We need to know what the Bible says about alcohol. Some things we need to know. First of all, we need to know what it does to our homes. We need to know what alcohol does to our homes. Nearly every home here this morning probably has been affected, and some of them even destroyed, maybe, in some way or another by alcohol. Every home, every individual, some way or another, we've all probably been affected. Over 100,000 young men will have to start drinking this year to fill the shoes of those who have been ruined and killed by alcohol in the past year. So my question is, which one of your boys, which one of your children, your grandchildren, are you willing to give to fill their shoes of the ones that's going to start this year to replace all the ones from last year? Amen. What we never hear and what we never see on mainstream media and out in public is the dark side of the billboard, is the dark side of the alley, is the back side of the commercial, the things that they don't show us. Over 80% of America can be classified as drinkers. Again, not people that's taking a sip every now and then, not folks that's tried it once and never drank again. I'm talking about folks that that can be considered as regular alcohol drinkers, over 80%. And they talk about how bad drugs are and how bad smoking is. If you watch TV, you'll see commercials nonstop about the dangers of smoking, the dangers of drugs. Say no to drugs, say no to drugs. It's all about how bad drugs are, and they are bad. Pornography's bad, drugs are bad, smoking's bad. I preach against all that stuff, but for every drug addict in America, there's 10 drunks and 10 alcoholics for every one drug addict we have. Amen? And so they talk about how bad the drugs are, but don't say anything about the alcohol. And you want to know why? This young preacher's about to tell you why. The reason why is because the government gets the money off the alcohol and the drug pusher gets the money off the drugs. Amen? That's why there's a push to legalize drugs now in our country, because the government realizes they can't stop it, so they may as well at least regulate it and tax it so they can put the money in their pocket. And the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen? And I'm telling you, the love of money here in Amory is going to be the root of all kinds of evil if they open the floodgates and bring in this alcohol. Amen? May as well say amen. The government gets the money off the alcohol, and that's exactly why. But I'll tell you this, alcohol is worse than drugs. Alcohol is worse than drugs. Again, for every drug addict, there's 10 drunks. More people affected by alcohol. But you know, here's one thing about alcohol. You know, one hit of cocaine and you're hooked. You're addicted. One hit of methamphetamines and you're addicted. You're hooked right then. Alcohol has deceived man and has lured him in and has used celebrities and entertainers and Hollywood to show the world that you can drink and live a regular lifestyle. You can enjoy it and have it under control, and you can do a little bit but not get drunk, and has deceived man. That's what the Bible said in Proverbs. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And alcohol has deceived the masses into thinking that you can drink a little bit and still be all right. And it's
it's not affecting you. And so little by little, you think alcohol isn't bothering you. You think it isn't affecting you. You think it's not affecting your family. And then out of nowhere, one day you realize that you've got something you can't get away from, and you can't quit, and you can't stop, and you're addicted, and you can't let go of the bottle. Amen. Most of the times, if the man of the house drinks, the children will drink. Children do in excess what their parents do in moderation. If a man says, I can take it or leave it, he'll take it every chance he gets. Amen. I give you about a distinguished colonel who was at a party, at a ball of some kind, and they were serving alcohol, serving drinks. And this real distinguished colonel, he turned down the alcohol whenever it was offered to him to drink with everyone else. And the lady there serving the alcohol, she said, sir, you are such a distinguished colonel, and boy, you're so world-renowned. Everybody knows you. And man, you're such an important person. Why wouldn't you drink with your men? And why wouldn't you have a drink with everybody else? And he sat there after turning it down. He said, ma'am, he pointed across the room. He said, right over there sits my boy. And he says, my only hope is that if he'll see me turn it down, it's offered to him, maybe he'll turn it down too. Amen. And so what the parents do in moderation, the children do in excess. Reminds me of the story I heard about Babe Ruth. I don't know a whole lot about Babe Ruth, but I did hear a story. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just telling you what I heard. They say Babe Ruth, whenever he was at the height of his popularity, and whenever he had really, just brought baseball into every home in America, and everyone looked up to Babe Ruth, and he was like the American hero, you know. He was playing ball and he was hitting all the home runs, and boy, he's just the greatest that's ever lived. You talk about the greatest ball player that's ever lived, you think of Babe Ruth, ain't that right? They came to Babe Ruth one day and they said, Babe Ruth, we will pay you a lot of money. We'll give you all kinds of money and we'll give you this big contract. I don't know what it was, but it was a lot of money. They were going to give him this money and this contract. They said, if you will just advertise our beer for us, if you'll make a commercial or make a newspaper article or whatever to advertise our beer. Babe Ruth turned them down and he said this. He said, there's thousands of little boys all over America, and they want to grow up one day to be just like me. They want to be just like Babe Ruth. And if they see me promoting and advertising alcohol and advertising beer, he said, there's thousands of them that it will destroy their life, and I don't want the blood on my hands. And he turned them down. Amen. I don't know a whole lot about Babe Ruth, but I do know this. He at least had a little bit more sense and more morals than this sorry group of athletes and ball players we got today that promote alcohol and play on the Lord's Day and do all the sin and promote all the sin and immorality that they're promoting. Hey, they know better than what they're doing. They know the effects of that stuff. They know what that stuff does to people and does to their lives. They ought to be ashamed of themselves, and a parent ought to be ashamed of their self if they'd ever promote one of those wicked heathens before their child to idolize. Amen. Because they're all wicked as the devil. Amen. May as well say amen. At least Babe Ruth had a little more sense than this group of athletes we got in this day. Amen. And so I say praise God for that. But they like to make, just like they were going to use Babe Ruth and all these other athletes, they like to make alcohol look fun and look funny to your kids. That's how they're getting them. Music does it all the time. I think back to whenever I was a lost man, and I think about all the wicked music I listened to whenever I was lost. And some of you probably call yourself saved and still listen to that wicked junk. It's wicked as the devil. Every rap song, every rock song, every country song promotes sin and immorality and alcoholism. Amen. And it's wicked as the devil, and you ought to get that junk out of your life and off your car radio. Amen. Because your kids are going to hear it. And the devil uses that stuff to hook your kids and make it sound and look fun and funny. Make it look funny. Amen. Isn't that the way I always do it? I mean, I can remember being in high school and a group of kids go out on one weekend and they go out and they party and they're talking about how funny it was. Man, we went out and we had a good time. We partied and man, so-and-so got drunk and they were in the back of the car and they threw up in the back seat and we had to clean it up. We almost got caught. Boy, it was so funny. Let me give you an illustration. Bang! Explosion! Tire screeching. A little girl's been hit by a car. Car rolls off the road and hits a light pole. Door opens up and a beer bottle rolls out and a man that was driving staggers out, can barely stand because he's so drunk. Little girl that was just hit by a drunk driver is paralyzed for the rest of her life. Isn't that funny? Isn't that hilarious? How somebody got hit by a drunk driver and it ruined their life. Isn't that hilarious and funny? Why isn't everybody laughing? They make it seem so funny. I'll give you another one. Look out the window, the mother says to her children. Watch out the window, it's payday and daddy's coming. It's Friday, he just got paid and he's coming home with the paycheck. And after they've not had groceries all week and the little boy, little girl's stomach is hurting and stomach is growling and it's payday and they're waiting on daddy to get home so that they can get them something to eat and get some groceries and get the bills paid, amen. But daddy doesn't come home at 5 o'clock and daddy doesn't come home at 6 o'clock and daddy doesn't come home at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. He finally staggers in the door in the wee hours of the night and he has no groceries. He hasn't paid any of the bills and he doesn't have his paycheck. It's been spent down at the tavern. It's been spent down at the bars with wine, women, and song. And the little children, the mother, they all go to bed hungry that night without groceries and without anything to eat because daddy spent his paycheck one more time down at the bar dancing with wild women. Isn't that funny? Isn't that just hilarious? And I guarantee you that in homes not far from where you sit right now, that is the exact scenario, that is the exact circumstance, that is the exact lifestyle that some of them have this morning. This morning, I have no doubt in my mind, I believe with all my heart that there are homes wrecked by alcohol in such a way not far from where you're sitting right now. All over this community and all over this county. Amen. You say, well, that'll never happen to me, preacher. That'll never happen to me. That's what they all said. That's what every drunk that has ever taken the first drink of alcohol, that's what they all said. Listen to me. First a man takes a drink. Then the drink takes a drink. Then the drink takes a man. It all starts with one drink. And you have a positively 100% chance of never getting hooked on alcohol and losing your life and losing everything you've got, losing your home, losing it all if you never take the first drink. Amen? This little baby bottle I have here is 1 ounce. That is 1 ounce of water. 1 ounce. Some of you can't even see it sitting so far back. Just such a small amount. And do you know that after 1 ounce, you lose 5% of your memory capability, they estimate. With 1 ounce of alcohol in your bloodstream, they estimate you lose about 5% of your memory capability. With 1 ounce of alcohol in your bloodstream, you lose about 10% of your ability to react. 10% with 1 ounce in your bloodstream. Hey, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Hey, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. This is what it's done to our homes. Listen to me. Anyone that would sell you alcohol, anyone in this town or anywhere else that would sell alcohol is as crooked as a dog's hind leg. One preacher said he's so crooked, got to screw their socks on in the morning. They are as crooked and low down and wicked as any heathen that's ever lived. If they know the effects of alcohol and what it does to homes and would still sell it to somebody else. Habakkuk 2:15 says, woe unto him. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. That putteth the bottle to him. Woe unto him. You think about all that have been ruined by alcohol. You think about all that's lost all self-respect because of alcohol. Think about all the young girls. Think about Kaylee and Kelby sitting here. Think about if they were to ever get hooked on alcohol and start drinking. Young, beautiful girls that's got a big future and got a lot of, that God could really use them in a great way. And all the young, beautiful young ladies out there that's failed to the dangers of alcohol. And that's the saddest, most pitiful thing you could ever think of. No longer are their eyes bright and beautiful, but they're red and sunk in. No longer is their hair beautiful, but instead it's stringy and dirty and out of place. No longer do their beautiful lips produce smiles, but instead they speak blasphemies and cursings and threats and wickedness. All these things that have been done to all the beautiful young ladies in our country. Think about all the fine young men. Nothing will turn a fine young man into a wicked devil quicker than alcohol. It'll turn him into a spewing, spitting, stammering, stuttering, empty-headed, blurry-eyed, red-faced, raving, craving maniac, and maniac drunk, and it fills up divorce court, and it wrecks homes, and it makes a man abuse his wife and abuse his kids and leave his family. Nothing does that like alcohol does. If Brother Chris Jackson was here, he's a police officer, we could ask him. A police officer that's no doubt sat through many divorce courts, maybe, and ask him how many times alcohol is a factor, and most of the time it is. We need to know, and our town needs to know, what it does to our homes. We need to know what it does to our hearts. Hosea chapter 4 verse 11 says, whoredom and wine take away the heart. Whoredom and wine will take away your heart. It will take your heart. Whoredom and wine destroys our hearts. These young girls are here. Young families are here. I want to ask you something. Why do you think boys want girls to drink? Why do you think boys, these young boys, get together in school and stuff, and they go out and they party and they try to get these girls get together and they say, well, hey, come on, just have a drink with us. We'll buy it for you if you'll just drink. I mean, just drink some. We'll buy it if you'll drink. Why do you think they want you to drink? Why do you think that is, Kaylee? Why do you think that is? You want me to tell you why? Your pastor's about to tell you. Because if she'll drink, she'll do anything else sooner or later. You remember that. If a boy ever comes to you, wants to date you, that drinks, you tell him to drop dead. If they want you to drink, they know she'll do anything else sooner or later. It's the same reason they want girls to smoke pot. Because if they know they'll do that, they'll do anything else they want them to do at some point, somewhere down the road. They've said to me, Jacob, if you can get a girl to drink, you can get her to have sex. That's what they say, and there's no doubt about that. And many times, a girl will lose her virginity and lose her purity and have not even made a rational decision as a result of drinking alcohol. And it doesn't take much to get that to happen. It don't take much. Habakkuk 2, verse 15 said that talked about woe unto them. I just quoted that verse. Woe unto them that give a strong drink, that puts the bottle to him. The verse goes on to say that they might look upon your nakedness. That's what the Bible says. That's what God said. Giving them drink to look upon their nakedness. And that's why so many of them are feeding the alcohol and pushing the alcohol to look on each other's nakedness. That's why on spring break down at Panama and down at Daytona and all these places, that's why anytime spring break or there's college kids in town, they get the liquor flowing and get the booze going because they know it inhibits their thought processes and it breaks down their barriers and they can give it to them and they'll do anything they want to do. And I'm telling you, listen to me, this spring break stuff, all this alcohol is being drunk and all the hell holes in the world, that's the biggest bunch of hell the world's ever seen. You need to stay far away from it as you can. And let me tell you this too. A parent would have their brains leaking out of their head at night if they'd ever let their kid go down to Panama or anywhere else with a group of friends unchaperoned, without any adults, without anybody that's got any sense, because that is the wickedest group and the wickedest place the world has ever seen when you get a bunch of young folks together drinking alcohol. And that's what most of them's going to do. Y'all all right this morning? Drinking alcohol, you just drink a little bit, you'll do things you'd never do sober. Proverbs said, where we just read it, it'll cause you to behold strange women. Behold strange women. One man said, and let me listen to what I'm about to tell you. One evening in October when I was far from sober, I was carrying home a load with manly pride. My feet began to stutter, so I laid down in the gutter, and a pig came up and laid right down by my side. I said, it's fair weather when fellers get together, until a lady passing by was heard to say, you can tell a man that who boozes by the company that he chooses. And the pig got up and slowly walked away. You know, nobody can hardly stand or be around you whenever you're drinking. The most annoying thing in the world is to be around a drunk whenever you're not drunk. That's why when folks get together, they want everybody to drink with them. Because it makes them say stupid stuff, makes them do stupid stuff, and nobody can hardly stand to be around them whenever they're drunk, except for another drunk. Not even an old pig wants to be around an old drunk. Amen? It'll cause you to behold strange women. It'll cause you to do things you would never do otherwise. That's why at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning at the bars and clubs all over America, somebody winds up going home with somebody. Amen. You look in the Bible, you'll always find that alcohol and strong drink is always coupled together with nakedness and with dancing and with whoredoms and all of the kind of sins you can imagine. Sodomy and incest and all of it. It's all mixed in with alcohol. Amen. Causes rape, causes incest. Matter of fact, one of the first mentions of alcohol in the Bible was in Genesis chapter 19 when Lot came out of Sodom and he's dwelling in that cave up in the mountains, and his daughters, they get together and they say, well, there's no seed for our father. We got to get something to carry on his name. And so they get their father drunk and they commit incest with their own father, get pregnant by their own father. And the Bible says he didn't even know when they laid down or when they got up. He was so drunk. And it was caused by alcohol. Amen. The very first mention of it, the first drunk in the Bible, was 10 chapters before that in Genesis chapter 9. That's when Noah got off the ark. He got drunk, laid in his tent naked. Again, alcohol and nakedness always go together. Laid in his tent naked, and his boy came in there. And it doesn't say specifically what he did, but all we know is that the Bible says when Noah woke up, he knew what his son had done to him. And a lot of people believe, and I kind of lean this way too, that that's the first homosexual act committed in the Bible. I don't know what he did, but it was enough that Noah knew what he did when he woke up, and it was so bad that that boy that did it, him and all his descendants after him were cursed. And they're still cursed today, by the way. It was that bad. A lot of people think it was the first homosexual act. But you know what it involved? It involved alcohol. I tell you, it's always connected with nakedness and dancing and incest and sodomy. It'll rob you of reason like it did Nabal in 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse number 36. You need to realize what it'll do to your heart. Some things we need to know about alcohol. We need to know what it'll do to our homes. We need to know what it'll do to our hearts. We need to know what it does on our highways. We need to know what it does on our highways. You know, they call it DWI. That's driving while intoxicated or driving while impaired. Amen. But see, the entertainers and all in the worldly crowd, they all make it look like it's cool and look like it's fun, look like it's funny. Like you can drive drunk and, you know, and get arrested, and they think it's real funny and real hilarious and all those things. But listen to me, if anything causes many people to die and get killed is what alcohol does every year on our highways, they'd outlaw it overnight. Overnight they'd outlaw it. They'd say this is a problem, this is an epidemic, this is a scourge to our country, we need to get rid of this thing. If it killed the people that alcohol kills on our highways, but the government gets the money for it, the government gets the revenue, and so it's pushed on society. That's why, you know, again, these commercials talk about, you know, talk about your kids about smoking, talk to them about drugs, talk to your kids about smoking. My foot, whenever it comes to smoking, talk to them about alcohol. I'm against both of them, preach against both of them, but if you're going to talk to them about one, talk to them about alcohol. You have a 100% chance of never becoming an alcoholic if you never take the first drink. We spend $8 billion every year on alcohol in this country and only $5 billion on education, they tell me. $8 billion on alcohol, cleaning up the mess of alcohol, about $5 billion on education. It's not profitable. It doesn't bring in revenue. It is a scourge to our country. One man said alcohol has drained more blood, dug more graves, sold more homes, plunged more people into bankruptcy, slain more children, snapped more wedding bands, defiled more innocence, dethroned more reason, blinded more eyes, wrecked more mankind, dishonored more womanhood, broken more hearts, ruined more lives, sold more women, drove more to suicide, took more to hell than any other death-dealing scourge that's ever come across this nation. The sin of alcohol. Say, well, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Let me ask you, would you want to have a pilot flying the plane you're in that had had just a little bit of alcohol that morning? Would you want to have a major surgery and or even an outpatient surgery for that matter? Would you want to have any kind of surgery with a doctor or a surgeon that's just been doing a little bit of drinking that morning? Hey, listen, you know better. You and I, we both know better. We know good and well that that folks are just making excuses and need to get real, need to get honest. They hadn't quit because they don't want to. They won't believe what the Bible says because they don't want to. We need to know what it does to our highways. We need to know what it does to heaven and hell. This is my last one. We need to know what it does to heaven and hell. Alcohol has kept many from heaven, and it's been one of the greatest populators of hell. Alcohol. Man said, well, I'm an alcoholic. It's a disease. Nearly every, you know, website you look on, you know, if it's a government website or some, you know, alcohol help site or something, every one of them approach it as if it's a disease. That's what people say, I'm an alcoholic. It's a disease. It's not a disease. It's not a disease. It's a sin against God. It is a sin against God. They say, well, it's a disease. I can't help it. Yes, you can help it. Put you in jail for about 3 weeks and we'll see you quit drinking. Amen? It's not a disease. People just don't want to stop. They're not man enough to stop. Not woman enough to stop. They're not willing to look within and say, this stuff is ruining my life and it's a sin against God and it's wicked and I'm wicked for doing it and I need to get this stuff out of my life. Amen. Listen to me. If it's a disease, it's the only one you can catch on purpose. If it's a disease, it's the only one you can buy in a bottle on a grocery store shelf. If it's a disease, it's the only one with regular outlets that sell it every day. If it's a disease, it's the only one that produces revenue for the government. If it's a disease, it's the only one that causes crime, rape, and incest. If it's a disease, it's the only one that is habit-forming. If it's a disease, it's the only one spread by advertising. If it's a disease, it's the only one caught without a germ or virus and has no medicine to treat it. If it's a disease, it's the only disease that'll keep you out of heaven. Heaven or alcohol has populated hell. Heard a story about a woman and her child driving home. They came around this corner. When they came around this corner, they spotted something in the road. You know, when you come around a corner, you just see something. You're just on it right then. They thought it was a deer. Turned out whenever they got slowed down, got closer to it, it was a young boy, teenage boy, laying in the street. She pulled her car over. Got out, got her daughter by the hand. They ran over there to check on that boy. It was a gravel road they were on. Whenever they got over to him, he was shaking and convulsing. He was so drunk, he could hardly lift his head. He opened his eyes and looked at her. Said, son, what's happening to you? What's wrong with you? He said, I'm drunk. Don't let my daddy find out. Please don't let my daddy find out. Don't let my daddy find out about this. He's so drunk, he could barely lift his head. About that time, they heard a car coming around the curve from the other side. And that car came around that corner on that gravel road so fast, all that mother had time to do was grab her little girl and run out of the way. And that car ran over that drunk boy laying in the middle of the road, drug him a few blocks down the road, the bottom side of that car did, and killed him on the spot. His last words were, "Don't let my daddy find out about this." Alcohol has done a lot to populate hell and keep folks out of heaven. They call it a bar, where alcohol is sold a lot. They sell it in bars. One man wrote a poem about it. He said it's a bar. It's a bar to heaven and a door to hell. Whoever named it well. A bar to manliness and wealth. A door to want and broken health. A bar to honor, pride and fame. A door to sin, grief and shame. A bar to hope, a bar to prayer. A door to darkness and despair. A bar to honored, useful life. A door to brawling, senseless strife. A bar to all that's true and brave. A door to every drunkard's grave. A bar to joy that home imparts. A door to tears and aching hearts. A bar to heaven, a door to hell. Whoever named it well. I'm sure we all know people personally, have stories that we could tell, and I know folks right now, folks in my family even, that have gotten hooked by the sin of alcohol. I know one man particularly right now, and I'm not going to name any names because I'm hoping that a lot of folks will get this CD and hear it. I'm hoping this will go out all over our city, and I hope folks will hear it and heed it. So I'm not going to name any names, but I'm just telling you, I know a man right now, personally, and I could tell you his name right now, and some of you probably even know him, who's probably getting close to 60 years old. He's probably in his 50s. At one time, he was married. At one time, he had children. At one time, he had a good home. He's very gifted and very skilled in what he does. He can do just about anything in construction and things like that, electrical work and all. I mean, just very gifted, very skilled, very talented. And everything he's ever touched, he's been very gifted at. But he's been drinking since he was about 12 years old. He started out just like everyone does, drinking a little here and a little there. And over the years, it's gotten more and more and more of a hold on him. And today, everything I just told you he had, he does not have anymore. He doesn't have a home. He doesn't have a wife anymore. He doesn't have his kids anymore. He doesn't have a car to drive or a house to live in or clothes to wear or a job or anything. He doesn't have any of it anymore. And the one thing that's taken it has been alcohol. They say, and I've heard it said, you may have heard it too, that if they vote in alcohol and just make it legal, folks will drink less. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. That's like filling this table full of candy and saying, let all the kids have all the candy they want, and if we let them have all they want, they'll want less. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Amen? But as I close here, I want you to think. Think about all the young people. Think about all the times that folks have gone out and partied. One night, just one night of fun, one night of party, one night to let it all go, and all the car wrecks that have happened on that one night. All the times people have been lost their lives on that one night. All the young people that's lost their purity and lost their virginity on that one night. All the people that's gotten hooked for the rest of their life because of that one night. I'll give you this one more story, and I'm going to close. Hannah can go ahead and make her way to the piano if she can, or Sister Sherry can. I tell you what, Sister Sherry, you come on. Just pick something out and play softly whenever you get down here. It'll be fine. As she's making her way down here, I want to give you an illustration, and we're going to close. But I heard a story one time, and I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just telling you what I heard. Up in Virginia, there's a small town, and really you could probably tell this story concerning just about any small town in America. This exact situation, this exact scenario that's played out, plays out in every small town in America at some point or another. But in a small town in Virginia, there was a car accident. A bunch of young people were involved. Several of them got killed. Of course, the whole town comes out that night to see what's going on. And one particular girl was under 17 years old. She got killed that night in that car wreck. They called her dad. Her daddy came down there. He was a prominent businessman in that town. He rushed down there, I mean, just in a rage. Her body's laying out there on the road, and they've got the body covered. And in a rage, he wants to know what happened. And they tell him, well, sir, they were drinking. They were drinking, partying, having a good time, whatever. And that's what happened. That's what caused this accident. In a rage, he wanted to know who gave them the wine. Who gave them the wine? Who gave them the alcohol? They were underage and had no business drinking. Who gave them the wine? I want to know who did it. And he said, I'm going to kill the man that gave them the alcohol, is what he said. So we don't know. We don't know where they got it. They just knew that they were drinking. He went home that night. Prominent businessman, drove a big fine car, had a big fine house. He went home that night, all tore up. His daughters just died. And in his home that night, he sat there with his nerves all shot. He thought to himself, I'm just going to have me a drink to calm my nerves and take the edge off this a little bit. So he went over to his wine cabinet to get out a bottle of wine and have a drink to cool his nerves. And when he opened the cabinet, there was a note inside. And the note said, Dear Dad, we took a bottle of your wine, but we knew you wouldn't mind. I promise I'll replace it. Love your daughter. We need to know some things about alcohol, and we need to know what it's going to do to our homes, what it'll do to your home. You need to know what it'll do to your heart. Our town, our city needs to know what it's going to do on our highways. We need to know, according to the Bible, what it's going to do in heaven and hell. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to pray. Sister, you can go ahead and start playing just whenever you get ready. We're going to pray, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. But at the very least, if there's nothing else you can come down here and pray for, you can at the very least pray for this next generation, these young people that's in our church. Pray God will protect them from the sin of alcohol. Pray for your children, your grandchildren. Maybe you know somebody that's hooked on alcohol. You might need to come lay them on an old-fashioned altar tonight. Pray God will deliver them. And if you can't even pray for those things, you can at least pray for our city, that God will intervene, that God will do something in these days, because it will be turned over to this curse if the majority of our city falls into this thing. Father, I love you, and I thank you for the blessing it is to be an old-fashioned church. Lord, I thank you for your word and, Lord, what you've taught us through it. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless us now. Bless now on the altar call. Be with your people and help them in Christ's name.